Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. It is time for In This League on Sports Grid.
Get on the grid.
I'm Welch. That's Bogman. I'm back. I was so sick. It was unbelievable last week. So you got 3 hours of Bogman and Casey Bubba. But I'm back here on the Sports Grid. It is ITL Live. 3 hours. And we got you covered with a whole bunch of stuff. Football, baseball, maybe a little bit of basketball. I don't know. A lot of football, though. A lot of football.
Well, I need to know a definition because you're the prospect guy over at In This League. You host Prospect One, one of the more successful minor league fantasy prospect shows. And I need to know what the definition of a slapdick prospect is, because I'm not 100% clarified on that.
Well, on the 20-80 scale, the slapdick prospect falls in right around 55. That's actually the official range. It's a very hardcore scouting metric that a lot of senior scouts use in baseball. They're like, oh, he's got the slapdick in him. And it's a baseball term. It's a hardcore inside baseball term. So much so that Blake Snell decided to do it. So this is why like the new era of sports is so fascinating, because players can lose their jobs by what they tweet. They can be scorned forever. And another thing is players have gone out and found different, whether it's outlets for themselves or different revenue streams. You know, back in the day, you just have to have like a shoe line or whatever. But now guys have like clothing lines, and then people are getting YouTube channels. And then they're getting in on Twitch. And our buddy Paul Spohr is very decent, good friends. I'll say like very good friends, but I don't know if that's true. Just good friends with Blake Snell, pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, because they Twitch together. I think they've Twitched it out a little bit.
Yes, he is our very good friend. I didn't know you were going to say I almost call him Benny Snell. With Blake Snell, I was like, yeah, no, Spohr is our friend.
No, Spohr is very much our friend. But like him and Blake Snell are cool. Like me, and I remember during first pitch, Spohr and I were talking about the Blake Snell. Snell likes to go in on Twitch. Well, he happened to be tweeting or twitching, whatever. That was the most old I've ever sounded.
Oh, he happened to be twitching.
He was twitching.
He was streaming.
He was streaming. That's a better way to put it.
He was streaming, Grandpa.
Yeah, twitching sounds okay, like boomer. Sounds like twitching. Online twitching just sounds like people
it
video
sounds
streaming.
Sounds like
mess.
Something I do because I have to go to bed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, not so
much. Sorry, I gotta go do some online twitching so I can actually get some real sleep.
So. Blake Snell is he's streaming at night, and there was a rumor that that the Padres and Tampa Bay Rays were close to making a move that would have Tommy Pham go to San Diego. And then the trade becomes official, and unfortunate for Blake Snell, he is streaming live as it happens, and this is his reaction.
We giving Pham up for Renfro and a damn slapdick prospect?
And by the way, what's in his mouth? Like, if you like stream without your mouth full, bro. Brah.
Something, or he's got just a huge lip in, you know.
A huge twang. So he upset.
What gave up who for what?
He calls Xavier Edwards because the trade is Tommy Pham gets traded with Jake Cronenworth get traded from Tampa Bay. Cronenworth actually an interesting prospect of middle infield shortstop who's a two-way player, and he gets traded with Tommy Pham to the Padres, and then the Padres send Hunter Renfro, not the wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders, and Xavier Edwards, who is kind of a top prospect. So he's referring, he's like, hear it again, because what did he call Renfro?
We giving Pham up for Renfro and a damn slapdick prospect?
It was Renfro?
Really ingratiating
slapdick prospect.
Really ingratiating himself to his new teammate. We gave up Pham for what? Renfro and some Slapnick? What?
Welcome home, Renfro. You ain't no fam, I'll tell you that.
I guess when you win a Cy Young Award, you can just say whatever you want about all of your teammates. So, I mean, this was a weird trade.
This happened to Will Myers. It's funny that there's a weird Tampa-San Diego connection here again, because I think the last thing on Switch was... God, I can't remember who was streaming for San Diego, but Will Myers was on the stream. Like, he wasn't streaming. He was just playing Call of Duty.
Didn't someone get fired?
No. He called Andy Green miserable.
That's what it was. They were talking about their former manager. They were talking about him being miserable.
Right. Well, he was still the manager.
Former now.
Right. Yeah. And he had said, God damn, dude, Andy was just miserable at practice today. That guy needs to cheer up or something like that. And then whoever the other guy was for the Padres goes, we're live, Will.
Yeah.
And Will was like, oh, damn, you know, whatever he said.
Well, remember,
it wasn't an over-the-top reaction. It was just like a, oh, damn.
We always said, that was always funny for us because for so long we were super anti-Will Myers. But then I told you after I got to, like, be around just a little bit, I was like, oh, he's actually a good guy. But like we always gave him crap because for some reason during spring training games, something would go on with Will Myers where he would just walk around. I mean, essentially like the biggest slap dick around. He would just walk around like such a D-bag about things, ignoring kids, just ignoring everybody. But when he's on the backfields, the guy couldn't be nicer, just talking it up with people, giving everybody his time. So it was always funny that it was Will Myers. And now his teammates with Tommy Pham.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, that weird Tampa Bay San Diego connection. Apparently, Twitch is running through those two towns to start.
I guess.
Here, but
it was a weird trade though, because Xavier Edwards is. I mean, he's not a slapdick prospect. He might be more of a slap hitter, which is actually ironic. Yeah, he's definitely top 100. Big, speedy guy, gets on base, walks. I was at his pro debut when he got drafted by the Padres. His only problem, he's literally got one knock against him at this point, is he doesn't drive the ball in the air at all. Everything's hit on the ground, but he makes lots of contact. He walks like crazy, doesn't strike out, runs every time he's on base. Seems like he's in a fantastic spot for Tampa Bay, but he just doesn't hit for a lot of power. So he's actually a pretty decent prospect, but this is, you know, the heart of it comes from Blake Snell. Like Tommy Pham is a very well-liked teammate and he was a 2020 guy, 21 homers, 25 stolen bases last year. You know, he's kind of one of those table setters, good defensively. You can imagine like pitchers want him on their team and he's like, wait a minute, we went and traded him for some, you know, big power, no contact outfielder and some middle infield prospect that I'll probably never see play. So you can understand where the frustration comes from, but like maybe don't be streaming. Maybe don't make comments on the trade when you're streaming. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
I mean, it's a simple lesson you learn when you're a kid, right? You know, I mean, were people not supposed to notice that you're a Cy Young winner? People follow you on Twitch. Of course, that's going to get out if you say something dumb like that.
I like it if he doesn't care. That would be my big thing. Like, I would love it if he doesn't care that he said that. Like, it'll be lame if he, like, makes some apology or something like that. But if everybody just, like, goes with the joke, then it'll be great. You know, if, like, Xavier Edwards comes into camp, you know, his player weekend jersey says slapdick, that'd be great.
I'm not sure.
MLB I'm not sure would they would allow that. Yeah, are we allowed to say that? I think we're allowed to say that. I'll find out.
What would Bartolo Colon say if you were making it?
I don't know the joke.
He would have a number two, and it would say families across the back of his jersey.
Two fam.
Or one, and then secret family, and then that's his name on the jersey. So
I like that to be like S-C-T-F-A-M, secret fam. If it was like a license plate, essentially, is what I'm getting at.
Oh God. Yeah. And Addison Russell's would just be that still shot of the Peloton girl that looks afraid. So
since we're talking about baseball, like what did you think about this move? And we can talk about a few of the other moves since we just happened to be on it. Cause there's one everyone's kind of like in preparation for, but you know, the Padres have been left and right making moves. They brought in Jerks and Profar, who looks like he's going to play second base. They traded away Luis Urias to bring in, Oh, who the hell did they bring in? Trent Grisham. So their outfield now looks like Tommy Pham, Will Myers, and Trent Grisham with maybe Manny Margot is kind of, you know, one of the fourth outfielders. And, you know, only moves it feels like we've had are Padre moves, and this is a pretty big one. I think this is a pretty big step into the right direction where San Diego wants to go, and it sounds like they're not done from all indications I've heard.
Well, it makes sense that they're not done because they have, you know, like you said, for a couple of years now, don't they have by far the deepest prospect pool of any MLB team?
Yeah, they don't have the number. They're not the number one system anymore, I would say by a long shot, but like they're still deep beyond belief, like from top to bottom. And this is what they're doing. And I think this is like, I think a pitcher is next. I think the next move, whether it's going to get like a guy like a Matthew Boyd or something like that, like they've got tons of pitching prospects, tons of low end guys that they can go move two or three pieces, and they're still a top half system overall. Like they still got dudes, and they just acquired Taylor Trammell, you know, during the during last season, mid season. So you know they're in a really good spot, but this is why, like, they might not have the top end prospects anymore, but they've got tons of depth that teams would want to trade from. These are the type of moves they need to make if they're going to compete. Yeah. So they should go get a pitcher. You go get a guy like Tommy Pham, who is a great table setter. And I think he's a perfect fit for a team that's got, you know, like Fernando Tatis Jr.
Right. I mean, that top of the lineup with Tatis Jr., Pham, and Machado now is crazy. Ooh,
I know. I wonder what that does, because Tatis Jr. was in the leadoff spot for a majority of the season. I wonder if that's going to take him out.
He'll still hit leadoff.
And then they go Tommy Pham too.
Yeah, Tommy Pham will hit two. Roster Resource has that. They've got Tatis, Pham, Machado, Hosmer, Grisham, Mejia, however you say his name, Cordero, and Profar. And they got Will Myers coming off the pine with Manny Margot also coming off the pine. That's what I hate about.
Who's the third outfielder then?
Grisham and Cordero.
Who?
Franchi plays center.
Franchi's not going to play center. Tommy's going to play center. Tommy will play center. Will Myers will continue playing whatever the hell he played last year. I think right field, and then left field will be a combo.
But Will Myers was so terrible last year.
Yeah, but they can't play him anywhere else. They can't play him anywhere else.
Yeah, might be just him coming off the bench this point.
I mean, I get the logic of some of that.
I think they're
going to
start with Will Myers in the lineup. But if he doesn't hit, I don't think they're going to sit on him. They have too many outfielders. You know, it's too many guys. That's why, like, this trade is fine for Tommy Pham, but I feel like it hurts Will Myers, and it makes me not want to own any of the other outfielders in Tampa Bay. I like Hunter Renfro now.
Yeah, I'm not sure any of the rest of us really wanted any of those guys. Yeah, Hunter Renfro is put into a really interesting spot with the team.
Yeah, I think Hunter Renfro getting, you know, the everyday nod and not being in this mess of, you know, rotating outfielders that is San Diego is going to be good for him.
Now, the big move that everybody is kind of sitting and waiting on, and a lot of people think it's just coming, is Gerrit Cole. And the presumption is with the New York Yankees at this point, even though there have been so many ties to the Angels, even the most recent report over on Roto World, ownership has given Cashman the approval to offer a record-setting deal, which would go beyond $250 million. And the Cole and the Yankees met on Tuesday of this past week. So, you know, the rumor has been that Gerrit Cole wants to play on the West Coast, and you have to imagine the Angels have been probably pretty serious about it. There's a rumor that the Padres have talked with Gerrit Cole. I could totally see the Padres dropping a record-setting amount of money if he wanted to play on the West Coast, but there have been reports that, you know, his camp has refuted that he has to play on the West Coast. He just wants the best deal and to play for a winner. And that would make so much sense. And people are resigned to the idea now, Boggs, that Gerrit Cole is going to be a Yankee.
Yeah, it really seems that way. Like you said, it's all been set up that they can offer him so much money. He wants to play for a winner and all that stuff. But I guess the one thing in all Yankee haters' minds should be, it hasn't happened yet. And if they were super serious about it, they would just back up a truck of money and say, look, we'll give you whatever you want. You're playing for us. You're not playing anywhere else. And that hasn't happened yet.
Well,
and,
maybe. I mean,
just used to be the Yankees' move, right?
But it doesn't mean other teams aren't doing the same thing, you know?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is it's not done yet, so there's still hope, right? I don't think you need to be resigned quite yet to him going to the Yankees, because I think there is something to him wanting to play on the West Coast. That just, it makes sense to me.
I do too.
I think it'd be better for baseball too if they had some stars out on the West Coast with Mike Trout. It would make those games more worth watching and stuff. I mean, you know, the Dodgers have been star-studded for a while, and but they've been really the only team. San Diego's been, well, I mean, the Giants were good for a long time too. But outside of those two teams, you know, West Coast, it's the Angels have just been okay. The Padres haven't been good at all. The Mariners haven't been good, and the Diamondbacks have been mediocre for a long time. So it's tough. You know, the Rockies make the playoffs every once in a while, and they have good hitters, but the pitching's always trash. So it's just hard for the East Coast to stay up and watch those games. But if you get some more of those stars on the West Coast, you know, maybe people will start paying a little bit more attention. So we won't get those weird Cy Young votes.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know what the bias means or matters. I mean, outside of, unless you're just saying like it would be fun, it doesn't mean anything to Gerrit Cole or his
signing. I see it'd be good for baseball.
Well, yeah, sure. Ravens. But, you know, when has anybody done anything that's good for baseball? When's the last thing that was good for baseball? Like, Gerrit Cole's not going to be like, you know what? I'm going to do what's right for baseball, and I'm not going to take that money. I'm not going to take that boatload of $250,000 because I want to do what's good for baseball.
No, I'm not saying
Gerrit Cole. Like that.
I want that to happen. So when I'm up late watching games on the West Coast, I can see Gerrit Cole.
You're not having to watch Lance Lynn. You're not having to watch Lance Lynn. You're watching Gerrit Cole or something. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
There was a rumor that some window washers who were rappelling down the building where the Yankees are put a sign on like Cashman's window that said, sign Gerrit Cole. Like, if people are going crazy in New York, and Boston fans are going crazy. But hey, we got to hit break. When we come back, we got a lot of football action to break down. Some DFS, Casey Bubba in the third hour. So don't go anywhere. More in this league right here on the Sports Grid.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid. You guys can come check us out over on patreon.com/ITL Army. You could support the ITL when you do that, but also you can get a bunch of cool stuff. We've got secret show content, their comedy shows. We've got baseball, since we're talking a little baseball. We've got some baseball breakdown podcasts that we're doing that are only on Patreon. We've got the prospect list. We've got group me rooms. We've got so much stuff. It's a good time of the year. It's early in December, and it's a great time just to get a little bit ahead of everybody else. Get your prep in and do it within this league. So patreon.com/ITL Army. We've been doing these player debate episodes, which we've been doing for a month now. And I don't know how many we have stockpiled here, 7 or 8 of them that you can go listen to. Really, really easy to consume. None more than like 15 minutes. Maybe the first one was, but every other one of them is just about 15 minutes or less. And it's player versus player. We take each side to debate, and then we talk about it. And it's just a really good prep way to get into it. So go search the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast. And then every week, except for this last week, since I had missed the week before being sick, we jump in and we do kind of a breakdown of what happened during that week for those debates and how people voted. So it's breaking down multiple episodes, and we've got that over on Patreon. It's been a cool little extra piece, and I know it's helping me prep, and I know a lot of people have liked it. Kind of in the dog days of, you know, December, where football is kind of going away. If you're not into basketball, you only have to look forward to baseball. And here at ITL, we did it. We got down with it pretty early, earlier than we've ever done, not doing an unsuccessful book.
It was funny. Yesterday I went to go see Kevin Smith with our buddy Jag, and we're sitting there waiting for the show to start. And I was like, who do you vote for in Trevor Story? And, and in Trevor Story and Trey Turner. And he goes, I didn't vote. And I was like, okay, who would you vote for? And he said, I would probably go with Trey Turner. And I was like, okay, that's enough. I don't need to hear the rest. Yeah, that's fine.
Thanks for participating, Jag. Thanks for helping out with your boys. Thanks for giving us the clicks. Doesn't everybody know at this point it's about the clicks? Give us the clicks. All the clicks. All of them. All the episodes. All the retweets and all of the polls. Come on, Jack.
Jesus. Well, he was at work all day and then had to organize the whole trip to go see Kevin Smith, the track.
Yeah, the 2 a.m. showing of
it was so late.
I was supposed to go to that, and I was just like, I can't go. I don't feel good, and bathrooms need to be handy. And the show didn't start till 11 p.m. on a Thursday night. And I was just like, I can't do that. I can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, it was... it was super, super late when we started, but I was...
at least all the drunk drivers were out by the time you left. At least that's where
death happens. Well, no one was on the road. It was weird ghost towny feel, right?
Yeah.
Where you're on, like, you're on the highway and no one's on there with you, and you're like, this is weird.
It's a weird feeling.
It's so late, it feels like that. It feels like the apocalypse because it's like 3 a.m. And then I was really hungry leaving, so I'm like, there's a McDonald's that's 24 hours. I'll go hit that afterwards. I go buy it. It's closed, of course, because...
And that hood, reasons. Of course.
Right.
Because of reasons.
No. I mean, it was by my house. And I was like, okay, looks like I got to go over to a different place. So I didn't get home till 4. So that was...
I woke up at 7. So that wasn't happening.
Yeah, that was what Jag said. Jag lives closer to the... to the place, so he was like, I went to bed at 3 and I got up at 6 for work. So
sounds horrible. Let me ask you something, since we're on a little bit of a baseball kick, and this is very, and I apologize for this, this is very radio-y. You kind of had a little bit of an answer about this, but like, is Gerrit Cole being a Yankee really bad for baseball?
No, I don't think it's bad for baseball at all. I think it's great for baseball too if he's a Yankee, because, you know, the ratings go up when the Yankees are in the playoffs or winning a division title, or, you know, just in it deeper into the season, the better the ratings are. I just think getting some stars on the West Coast, you know, but it's not working for the NBA right now. There's so many stars on the West Coast and the game starts so late that the ratings are down, I think, because the East Coast doesn't have as many stars as the West Coast does, and it's hard for those East Coast people to stay up late to watch Kawhi Leonard and all that stuff.
Do you have any worries about, like, I mean, Gerrit Cole has been just an absolute stud. You know, absolute stud. And this is all presumption, by the way. Gerrit Cole could go sign with the Angels. He could go sign with the Rangers. Who cares? But it looks like it's trending. Like, even, like... known, you know, Red Sox aficionado like Jared Carrabas is out there being like, I'm just living in the presumption that he's a Yankee. And that's how I'm, and you know, that's how most people are approaching this, where it seemed like it was the standard talk in the offseason. It's now becoming real. But do you worry at all him being in that box in Yankee Stadium? I mean, all they've done is try to work on that staff, and they'd have a pitching staff of Severino, Paxton, Tanaka, with a J-Hap, and then led by Gerrit Cole. Do you worry at all there could be a little bit of, I don't know if it's complacency or if, you know, playing in the AL East is a little bit of a concern for him? You're going up against Boston. Tampa's getting better. You know, the little bit of a box of the stadium. Do you worry that Gerrit Cole maybe moves off of where he has been undoubtedly the number one starting pitcher in fantasy taken? I wonder if people might tread a little bit lighter with Gerrit Cole as a Yankee.
I think he's still probably going to be the number one guy gone as far as starting pitchers go this year, regardless of where he winds up. To me, it doesn't really matter if he's with the Yankees or the Angels. He's probably still going to go number one. But you're like, if he does sign with the Yankees, you're absolutely right. You know, I don't know that there's much you can do about it, or there's not a great expectation level you can set, but there's so much that goes into being a Yankee. It's not just, oh, he signed with another club. The media scrutiny is insane. The pressure is just on you all the time. The legacy. I mean, just there's so much stuff that comes with being a Yankee, that comes with being a Red Sox, that comes with being a Chicago Cub, that just doesn't come with being a Rocky or a Diamondback or a Mariner. You know, there's so much that comes with being on those teams that have had a fan base for a long time that are insatiable and crazy. So I think you kind of have to have that worry in the back of your mind. The problem is that some guys can handle it and some guys can't, and we can't really tell the difference between them. But I mean, people have already said that about Strasburg. They don't think that Strasburg's attitude fits towards playing in Yankee Stadium with the Yankees. And that's, you know, I think Garrett Cole's does. So I don't know. Do you have a strong opinion either way on those guys fitting better?
I don't know. Like, I don't think about too much about that stuff. Like, that stuff doesn't mean much to me about, like, you know, like their personality and fit. All I care about is, like, if he's there, are there negative effects of the ballpark? Is there negative effects of the offense or the people that you're pitching against? You know, that's all that I care at this point. I don't think about the ancillary things like I would.
No,
in Strasburg,
I understand. I just
Cole.
Think that those things affect the bottom line. So because if you're uncomfortable and you don't want to be there,
very few players are like that, though. That was like Randy Johnson and Zach Greinke, like that. Like those are the players I think of that there's massive down effects. Like maybe that's right with Strasburg. But you know what? Strasburg is the guy that he is going to reap the benefits off of wherever Cole doesn't sign. Like I assume, because they've already said that they can't re-sign Rendon and Steven Strasburg. The Nationals can't. And yeah. I would imagine Rendon has got to be at the top of the list for who they want to re-sign. So, and Strasburg, I mean, Kyle Gibson got like $10 million a year to sign with the Rangers. So Strasburg is going to get an enormous contract. And I right. assume he's a guy who is from Long Beach that is probably going to go play for the Angels or the Padres. Like one of those two make a lot of sense. And he's going to get a big old contract. And I think he's going to go on the West Coast. And, you know, I mean, I think there's some positive effects overall. I would worry if he goes with a worse defense. You know, I would want Strasburg to have a really good, solid defense and offense in full coverage, where I don't know if Garrett Cole needs that, but I worry a little bit about, I don't know, just like the ballpark factors a little bit. Like I'm gonna look and see if I can see what Garrett Cole's numbers were in
Yankee Stadium
while you filibuster here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was going to the same thing, but you're probably quicker at it than I am. But yeah, man, I understand what you're saying, where you're not really worried about it. And as fantasy nerds, we can't really that stuff can't impact us. You have to look, like you said, at the bottom line and look at all the outlying numbers and all that stuff. Can his ERA go up? Well, yeah, I mean, he had a career year and the strikeout numbers, can they go down? They could.
And it's not even to me about like if he's a little bit worse. Like that isn't like
a
horrible thing.
Well, you expect regular regression.
Yeah, but the problem is
it
payment.
Beyond regular regression because he's going to Yankee Stadium? I don't know.
And
maybe
it's what you have to pay for him. That's my concern. He's the number one cost at pitcher this year, and it looks like...
Well, they did all the stuff with the hitters for the Astros too. What's to say they weren't also doing all that nonsense, you know, with the pitchers and all that stuff too. So that could have played into why Garrett Cole had this huge transition of being pretty good to amazing in Houston. So all these little teeny tiny things add up to Garrett Cole being a risk regardless of where he winds up next year.
Risk is a pretty... I don't know.
Well, of course, everyone has risk. They all have risk.
I'm just saying, like, putting that word to it makes it feel a lot bigger than it is. Like, I don't want to start the narrative like Garrett Cole is a Yankees a risk. It's like, no, he's still one of the best fantasy options out there. He should be. He probably should still be taken.
When I called him a risk one more time, can I get it one more time?
I have no idea how I sounded. I didn't even know I did a voice there.
He did like a Craig Wolfley, like a Garrett Cole's a risk if he goes to the Yankees.
Oh, it was like a headline. It was almost headline-y, like, because then people are going to be like, oh, so now Garrett Cole. No, it's just like I already didn't love the cost you have to pay, which is like a top 5 or 6 overall pick. Maybe it's something to be concerned about. Last year doesn't tell you much, though. He had one game, 7 innings, 6 strikeouts, gave up 3 earned runs. So, I mean, you couldn't have more of a standard solid game. You know, strikeouts were a little bit lower based on innings, but, you know, they gave up 4 hits. He did walk a couple in the stadium, but I'm looking more for, like, you know, our balls flying out. He did give up a homer in New York Stadium, in the Yankee Stadium last year. So all I'm saying is where people are paying the high cost of the starting pitchers this year want to make sure that they're getting the top guy. I don't know. If he's a Yankee, maybe there's a tiny bit of a concern to look at. Like, I mean, maybe another way to look at it would be like, what were the regression numbers from James Paxton?
Yeah, that's a great point. But the risk I'm talking about is not like, oh, he's a super scary pick because he's a pitcher and all that stuff. You're always going to have that. It's just that this is the first time that not Max Scherzer has really been the number one overall pitcher in a while. So it's just, you know, when someone gets to this level that Gerrit Cole is at and you take them, you know, expecting close to what you had last year, that's risky. But anyone in the first round is risky. You know, they get hurt and it sucks the life out of your team for a lot of people. So it's just he's more risky, obviously, this year than he was last year just because of the cost. That's all. I don't want to paint him as a risky guy. It's just that's what goes through my mind. But like the Welsh hates the way that I look at the pitchers and stuff specifically because I poke holes in everything. That's just my negative outlook.
But it's I don't hate that. It's just, but like you're an analyst when you're talking on here and you start to be like, yeah, he's risky. Like people are going to just take that for verbatim. That's the only thing I'm talking about. Like you could poke a hole about every single player,
right?
Every person, every human being. So that's why pick and choose. That's why I say pick and choose where it's deserved to poke the hole. The only hole you could even potentially poke here with Gerrit Cole could be ballpark factors in New York. Or, I mean, you kind of turned it into like a personality standpoint.
It's price. It's not.
Yeah, that's what I said, though. Price is the problem with him.
Yes. That's the issue. It's not his performance. He's going to be a top 10 pitcher regardless of where
he ends up. He's going to be a top 3 overall pitcher.
Well, I think he's probably going to be a top 3. I would say there's a 95% chance he winds up as a top 3 pitcher, you know, if he doesn't get hurt. 95% chance.
You have to throw in the injury thing out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, that's just a pitcher for anyone. Chris Sale wasn't hurt for a decade, and everyone was calling for him to get hurt, and then he finally gets hurt. You know what I mean?
Paxton, by the way, didn't have it's nothing crazy. It's just nothing you could poke at. Like, his ERA went up, like, 0.06. He had a big xFIP difference with Seattle to the Yankees, but his ERA was about the same. His walks went up a little bit in New York. His homers went up almost inconceivable. It's just like the things did go up. BABIP went up from a .299 batting average he pitched to with the Mariners in 18 to a .313. So, I mean, maybe there's little tiny factors. All it is it's like I don't want to pay a top 8 price for Gerrit Cole. Like I want my pitching later, and I think Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom are better priced out. I think those guys are better priced than, you know, paying the crazy high price that we do every single year. Like Max Scherzer didn't return the value of where he was taken, and people were taking him in the top 5.
And I think that's the way to say it instead of saying risky is I don't want to take a pitcher in the first round, regardless of who they are. And I specifically don't want to take the guy that just got anointed as the top pitcher to repeat those career numbers in a different stadium, in a different situation.
Yeah, so and I agree with that.
That is, you know, he's not any more risky than the other guys in the first round. It's just that's where his risk is. And that's the first thing I look at when I look at those specifically, like your first 3 rounds. I look at downside because I want high floor players in the top 3 rounds. I don't want to take, personally, I don't want to take a guy that is too risk reward there. I'll take my risk on the back end with younger players from rounds 4 all the way down to the end. I'm more than willing to dive in on a risk, but the top 3 rounds, I want high floor players to solidify my team.
Yeah, so. I agree with that. A couple other just notes that were out there. It looks like Michael Pineda, it looks like he's going to be returning to the Twins on a 2-year, $20 million deal. It's actually pretty good. He's like an interesting late pick. We saw that Mike Moustakas signed the 4-year deal with the Reds. Love that output. There's also a quote like a, well, they're saying he's a potential bidder, but there might be a little bit of a bidding war going on with Madison Bumgarner, who's one of those free agents that's going to move. The Twins and the Cardinals are a couple teams that look like they are in on him. And we are going to have a couple Japanese players. What's his name? Susuko is linked to everybody. What's his first name?
There's a couple Korean guys, too, that are being posted.
Yoshitomo Satsugo. Maybe that's how you say it. Yeah, good. I mean, good offensive. I've watched stuff. Can't say his name, but watch a whole bunch on him. Roto World has the White Sox, Blue Jays, Tigers, Twins in on him. The Diamondbacks have been very heavily linked to him. So there's a lot of movement that's going on. The Anthony Rendon sweepstakes will be coming to a head soon. And winter meetings are coming up. I believe they're actually this coming week, I think.
Bundy got flipped, too. All kinds of action going on in baseball. It's coming.
It's hot stove, man. And I believe our boy Pisa Pia and Craig Mish, I mean, Mish isn't our boy. We just don't know him. But they are going to be, I think Mish is live from the winter meetings this coming week. So expect a lot of upcoming action, and we'll be breaking it all down. All right, don't go anywhere. We got to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Thursday night game. So more in this league coming up right here on Sports Grid.
Get down.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo.
All night.
All right, it's In This League. Welcome back. We're right here on Sports Grid. That is Scott Bogman. I am Chris Welsh. You can find us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh for me, at Bogman Sports for the Bogs. And during a break, you made me realize, like, there's just other moves we didn't. I mean, the Zach Wheeler move, $100 million, $118 million to go to Philly. That was a big one. And what was
and
the
Mets
other one?
Fans love that one. They love
him
for whatever reason.
Off the team and the Phillies using all that money.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think of Zach Wheeler going to Philly?
I think it's a fine move. Like, a lot of people are kind of crapping on the deal, but I don't know how much.
That's what pitching costs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's what pitching costs. And it's not like, I want to say young pitching. I mean, I think he just turned 30 years old, so he's not like that young, but like, how many young-ish pitchers come up on the market? Look at the guys that are on the market right now. I mean, you know, it was Kyle Gibson, Bumgarner occasionally. You know, like, there's not that often that you can, you know, throw their money out there. And Philly doesn't have a system that they can probably go make moves or is willing to. So this is what you do. You take a pitcher from a competitive spot. You obviously like him enough. I think he's fine. It was a fine move. It was a totally fine move.
You sound like you're trying to convince yourself. It was fine.
It was good.
It was a fine move.
Totally
it was good.
Fine.
It was fun, whatever, yeah. You know. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that this is kind of the cost of pitching. He's been bipolar, you know, a 5.21 ERA 2 years ago and only 17 starts, down to 3.31 in 2018. You kind of see that, you know, what we've been waiting for since 2014. And then, you know, last year it balloons up to close to 4. His xFIP was just over 4, but I think that's okay. But that is in a Shea or City Field, I mean, and he's going to Philly, which is a shoebox now. So I think I would worry more about Wheeler's transition to Philly than, you know, someone going over to Yankee Stadium. So, like, we were just talking about Gerrit Cole. So.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assessment. We want to speak of bipolar, by the way. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God, dude. I was sitting in line waiting to walk in to see Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes yesterday, and just NFL memes is just all over it. I mean, anything they can do to crap on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know, it's the – they have the picture of the – just making sure to see if you guys are still them boys. You know, that one was on there. And then a Jason Garrett's playbook where it's just a guy clapping, you know.
You know what I love? There's a couple things about it. Like, I know this is a rough time for Cowboys fans because, like, I don't feel guilty at all because Cowboy fans, like, purposely accept their obnoxiousness. And there's also a tropiness that I hate about it because, like, I know it is kind of tropey to be the people that are like, Cowboy, you know, like, everyone makes fun of Cowboy fans. So it's almost not even fun anymore. But, like, Cowboy fans can also be the most obnoxious, and they kind of embrace it. And they're really quiet right now. They're really, really quiet. But what I like is that there's this different attention that's on the Cowboys now. And it's this like, we're not amazing. We're not the leaders of the East. And everybody is like, you know, magnifying glass at every stop. Like I saw Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, he tweeted that Jerry Jones said bull S on radio, on sports radio in Dallas on Friday. And it was like,
naughty. He can't afford the fine.
But he went out of his way. Well, actually, the radio station's the one that gets fined. Do you remember I told you that one time? I was the sports station I worked at, a NFL player who was on weekly, a Cardinals player, came on, and the producer, who's a good friend of mine, when they got him on, because he was on the whole time, he decided to go take a dump. So he puts the player on after a loss. He puts it on with the two talk show hosts. He goes and takes a crap, and then the player just starts to cuss. And there's no board operator to do anything. So the two hosts, they're just sitting there. They don't know what to do. And then they all got suspended, and the station got fined. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because the player dropped, and no repercussions to the player whatsoever. So Jerry Jones does that. It's on the radio station. But that's the news that we're looking for right now. How fed up is Jerry Jones of the Cowboys? Because they look horrible. They're gone. Garrett's gone.
Jason Garrett's gone. They're still going to make the playoffs, though, the Cowboys. You know they're still leading the East right now.
I know, but you really think this team is going to be able to hold that?
The Giants have been officially eliminated, right? They're done. They're 2-10. The Redskins are 3-9, so they're a loss away. The Eagles are 5-7, and they're just not good. Like, I could see the Eagles losing to the Giants on Monday Night Football, couldn't you? Eli Manning gets a little revenge. He gets to go in a rivalry game again, put up a couple more yards on an old rival. Their secondary is terrible, too. So I could easily see them losing this game and still being, a full game behind the Cowboys.
Yeah. Keep going.
No. Here's the schedule. The Rams, the Eagles, and the Redskins for the Cowboys. And that's the rest of the season. So they have that head-to-head with Philly. Philly has got they've got the Giants on Monday Night Football this week. Then they're at the Redskins. Ooh, man, this schedule's pretty easy, though. Then they have the Cowboys, and then they're at the Giants.
I don't recall seeing a Cowboys team that looks less disinterested in winning football games than this one.
Right.
It's bad. It's really, really bad. I mean, the Bears came in and made them look like silly gooses. Mitch Trubisky turned them into geese. Mitch Trubisky came in and dropped three touchdowns.
Didn't I talk up Mitch Trubisky a little bit?
You did.
You said he was ranked 26th.
Yeah. My argument. You did. You know what? You did say he was way too low. But my argument was like, you can't go into battle at the beginning of your playoffs with Mitch Trubisky unless you're absolutely desperate, especially against a Cowboys team. Which here's what we got wrong. The presumption was that, the Cowboys got to be out for blood. They have got to be out for blood. This division, they can hold through on this. They can't keep losing these stupid games. They're not out for blood.
Getting embarrassed on Thanksgiving Day at home on national television, you would think would inspire a team.
You would.
And both these teams played last Thursday, so it's not like, the Cowboys got more rest or anything than the Bears. And the Bears beat the Lions on their third-string quarterback barely. So it just seemed like the Cowboys should be favoring this game, and it was going to be a walk, especially when it comes down to little things because the Bears keep missing field goals. Did you see Eddie Pinheiro warming up? And he just they have him on TV warming up, and he just whiffs it. Looks like your guy Chase McLaughlin on the one that he missed.
Of course.
And it was like, Bears kickers are ready right here is what it said.
Well, what's amazing about this game is it looks so much closer than it was remotely close to. I mean, Allen Robinson
does.
Yeah, the score. I mean, 31-24 because Dallas scored 17 fourth quarter points. But Trubisky threw three touchdowns, and I believe it was early into the third quarter. You had two from Allen Robinson, who had five catches. Anthony Miller didn't have the crazy volume game, but he was productive again, 42 yards and a score. David Montgomery got his 20 carries, but he lost a fumble, so that kind of hurt. And Trubisky ended up rushing for 63 yards. And they had, I mean, Elliott, I think, had an early touchdown, but they had kind of everybody on lockdown until you got into the fourth quarter. Gallup kind of broke out a bit. Cooper got the touchdown. It's just this, this Dallas team doesn't look remotely close to the competitive nature that I think expectations are put on them. Like how we envision the Cowboys should play is not remotely close to who they are. And it's not like we need, it's not like they lost to the Bengals, you know, or the Dolphins or something that. But this Bears team has been on such a slide. The Bears look like this was the game to get right. And the Bears did.
Well, the Bears, you know, they keep winning these close games. They look bad doing it, but they're 7-6, you know, their division is real tough, of course, the North, but because you have the Packers and the Vikings in there as well. But they're in a spot to earn a playoff, you know, to earn a wild card. They could easily do that. So, you know, and we thought that the Bears were going to be much better than this coming into the season. At least I did, because the defense is insane there. So it sucks. The biggest thing here that we haven't mentioned yet is you see Roquan Smith is probably done for the year.
Yeah.
Looks like he tore his pec.
Yeah.
So that sucks for the Bears. But this was a let me ask you this. Next week against the Packers, is Trubisky a let's not say a startable. Let's say a top 16, like a top half of the 32 starters. Huh. So a top 16 against the Packers.
I mean, if he is, he's 16. Okay. I mean, they're playing better. He looks better. But how much do you trust it? How much how much are you willing to put your season on the line?
Well, I think I don't want to start necessarily Trubisky, but for a while it's been all you can do is start Allen Robinson and that's it. I think David Montgomery becomes startable. And I think the more time Taylor Gabriel misses, Anthony Miller becomes more and more of a reliable option too.
I 100% agree with that. I mean, I agree with that after last week. I think Anthony Miller has re-solidified himself in the offense. I think he's kind of a startable guy. You know, let me turn it over on the other end. How much do you remember when there was such a push that Dak Prescott, it was so silly that he wasn't a QB1 as far as being drafted and how underrated he is. Do you think this late run, the last 3 weeks at least, I mean, he had 6 touchdowns in the 2 games prior to the last 3 weeks against Detroit and Minnesota, but he's had 3 touchdowns in his last 3 games. He's gone over 330 in 2 of those games. A couple picks are involved in there, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Do you think Dak has gone from where people are like so defensive of him and who he is to being like a borderline streamable quarterback? Like he's just not a guaranteed guy anymore with how Dallas is playing.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it hasn't been great for him. They've lost 3 in a row and he has been a big part of that.
Like he was matchup proof for a while. It was just like, you just put Dak out there, you don't worry about it. I think he's now in the streaming option where you can be like, all right, so I have Dak versus, I got this guy, I got Goff versus, and I got this guy versus. Who do I pick? Like, that's where he's gotten to.
Yeah, I mean, next week they play, the Cowboys play the Rams. And so it's kind of like, where is he going to be ranked versus, you know, like a Trubisky against the Packers. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is on the road against the Giants. Would you rather start Dak or Ryan Fitzpatrick with the way he's looked?
Give me the matchups again.
It's Miami on the road against the Giants, and the Cowboys are at home against the Rams.
So who are my options?
Your options are Dak or Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'm going to go Dak.
Okay, what about Dak or, you know, Dak against the Rams? Or would you rather go with Wentz against the Redskins?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right, and you're absolutely right. I think he is he's definitely not a guy that you want in like a DFS setup. I know that because he's always going to cost too much because he's a Cowboy and he hasn't been playing great. So I'm all about that. But I think you're right. I think that's the kind of option. And to be honest, I think you know him versus Fitzpatrick, depending on how Fitzpatrick plays this week, is a question as well. I think I'd probably go with Dak too because, you know, Miami on the road in December is not fun. But, I mean, you know, Ryan Tannehill against the Texans or Dak against the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, do I have an answer for that? I don't know if
that's where we're at. Yeah. I mean, that's just where we're at.
Did you say Dak versus the Redskins?
No. Dak is going up against the Rams.
Oh, yeah, you're still on that one. Yeah. I mean, right. it proves my point back to where Dak is no longer the guy that you just don't worry about. You just throw him out there, rank in the top eight every single week. He's just in the streaming options. And
who are they going to get to replace Jason Garrett? That's just, like, amazing. I don't know that there are amazing options out there.
I mean, you got to feel like they're going to go at the top heap of, like, college. Like, doesn't Nick Saban feel like a guy that needs to be the Cowboys coach?
No. Nick Saban will never
ever. Well, no, I know he won't. I'm just saying, like, they're going to look at the top heap of college programs. I mean, you tell me, who are some of the.
I think the guy for Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, I think they're going to try to get him. But he's one of those guys that I feel like could be a Saban who's like, I'm in Oklahoma. I've made this team real good, especially if they get into the playoff. And we'll find that out, earlier today as you're listening to the spoiler alert. You know if they're in. We don't. But I think he probably wants to stay at Oklahoma because it's one of those cushy jobs where you can just sit back, make a ton of money, and the competition isn't horrible. But if he wants to play, if he wants to go to the NFL, you're not going to do much better than going to the Cowboys. Jerry Jones puts his full support behind whoever he hires.
Yeah, there's two young NFL hot names right now. Robert Salehi is probably going to be at the top of the list for most teams, defensive coordinator for the 49ers. I mean, he is a highly, highly sought after player. And Eric Bieniemy is another one of those guys that I've seen kind of being thrown around as like, get him, go get him. But I think Salehi would be a player they would look at. But I don't know. The Cowboys to me feel like they go to a high end college organization and they try to get a guy that can be there forever.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think they're going to go for an offensive guy, so I think that's why Lincoln Riley comes to my mind. But you could see some big changes because who knows what's going to happen with this team and if they're going to give Dak that extension or franchise him or whatever they're going to do. So
What the positive though is? Here's the positive everybody gets to walk away with. By the way, I forgot Trubisky rushed for a touchdown too. Four touchdowns was regardless of how messy this game was. All of the stalwarts scored. Allen Robinson, Michael Gallup had six catches, 190 yards. Amari Cooper had a touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott had two touchdowns. So where everything was messy into this, the team still ended up, between the two teams, ended up dropping 55 points. All the guys that you needed to scored, and everyone was able to walk away with not hating this game and their fantasy playoff teams because this is the big run this week. I actually had a panic attack, Boggs. I had a panic attack about my lineup.
Against Jesse Severe. I've got him in two leagues, Jesse Severe, this week.
I like it, Thanos. Yeah, I had a couple people sending me hateful messages that I'm playing in playoffs against because I had Allen Robinson in a league or two. So that was a very good one. But I had this panic attack because I felt like the Thursday game snuck up on us this week. And all of a sudden I was like, dang, my lineup's set? Like, this is there's no worse fear than not having your lineups good to go when it's week 14 in the playoffs. Like, I was terrified. I
had that too. So
yeah,
it's just because this is a weird week. It's after a holiday and you're trying to make sure everything's right. And I knew I wasn't doing Thursday Night Football with Bogman this week because of Kevin Smith. So I was, I was standing in line. I'm like, I did get Allen Robinson in my lineups, didn't I? And then I had to go look and I did. So all safe, all clear. So,
all right. Well, when we come back, hour one in the books here, when we come back, we got to hit some DFS lineups. We are going to do some over-unders. I mean, I think I've missed the last like couple weeks, so we can't look at the totality of it. But we'll hit some lines. We'll look at week 14 and then Casey Bubba in hour three. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up right here on Sports Grid. Mm-hmm.